12 begins with these words, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Let us lay aside every weight. Now Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. I don't know what kind of distinction we can make between every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Maybe we could get by saying that every weight is referring to the Greek games, the races, running the race and so on, and the sin refers to the spiritual. Maybe we could say that. Or maybe we could say that every weight is the external things in our lives that weigh us down, and the sin which does so easily beset us is that original sin which is always with us, and maybe we can talk about that.
Well, whether these be the answers or not, I don't
know, but I know that they contribute to the answers at least. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." We talked about that last week. We just read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We talked about men like Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets, and how that they left us a glowing example of overcoming, and how that we can run this Christian race and we can finish it and we can win the race. We can go to heaven. We don't have to go to hell with a doomed world. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with all these godly examples of victory, let us lay aside," now he's focusing in on us, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Put off the former conversation," that's behavior, "the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Ephesians 4:25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." In other words, put off these weights, these things that like to cling to us and weight us down and slow us up in the race. Colossians 3:8, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." These things should have no part in a Christian's life. We should be casting them off and running this race. James 1:21, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word." 1 Peter 2:1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." In other words, Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us lay aside every weight." We read Ephesians 4:22, he says, "Put off." Ephesians 4:25, "Put away." Colossians 3:8, "Put off all these." James 1:21, "Lay apart all these things." 1 Peter 2:1, "Laying aside all these things." So we have the message of the Bible in general that we should be stripping ourselves so that we can run in this race and not be weighted down by these things. It seems to me that I've read somewhere, sitting probably in a professional office waiting for somebody, some appointment or something, some magazine where maybe it was Olympics, racing, swimming. Anyway, somebody wanted to go so fast and do away, get rid of, cut off anything that would hinder them, that they're, and you can read the history of this, part of that is coming back to me now, where they got these skimpy swimsuits because other swimsuits were impeding them in their swimming for that finish mark. Anyway, this one shaved his head because hair could even slow him down. Shaved his head bald just before the race, got every whisker off his head, you know, and his face, and even his legs and under the arms, so they're just smooth from head to foot. So there's nothing holding them back, and they swim to win that race. Now that's what the Bible's talking about here. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Anything that would slow you down, anything that would impede you in this race has got to go, is what the Bible is teaching. Praise the Lord. Now we can read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16, and read some more. This is the message of the prophets also. Putting off these weights seem to be the constant doctrine of the prophets. Isaiah 1:16 says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil, put away the evil of your doings. from before mine eyes cease to do evil, because these things are a hindrance in the race. Jeremiah 4:4, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Take it away, he's talking here. And of course, that's kind of an Old Testament doctrine explained in the New. And his apostles talk the same way. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And then, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. We have to put away the things of this world. Jesus warned us about the cares of this life in Luke 21, verse 34. Luke 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. James 4:4. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And then 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. We have got to lay aside our love for this world if we're going to run successfully in this race of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we have to put off a lot of other things that we could study and talk about at length this morning. John chapter 5, verse 44 is a very good verse. Jesus said, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? A lot of people are seeking their honor from the world today. Oh, they've got to win their awards and their applause and their prizes. They've got to be number one on the top of the list. They've got to have their name on the bulletin board or whatever. And Jesus challenges them and says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now that's the honor we should seek. We should be taking off everything, anything. Shave your heads, under your arms, shave your legs. Everything you have that's impeding you in this race. And get in there and swim. Run for the goal. Praise the Lord. You've got to cast off the cares of this life. Cast off the world. Cast off riches, honors, pleasures, anything that will hold you back. I got an advertisement, I've told you about it, from the university here. They had a course that they wanted us to take on pro-self. Pro-self. And I wrote down here, pro-self is a weight that I cast off. Because Jesus didn't say anything about pro-self. He said, deny yourself. Deny yourself daily so that you can run in this race unimpeded. Praise the Lord. Some people don't run well because they don't lay aside. They don't strip down. Amen. Some people don't run well because they don't lay aside. Now, lay aside, these things were said to help us, not to hurt us. You go to a doctor and he says you need an operation. You have a tumor that needs to be cut out and it's non-malignant. And as soon as we get that tumor out, you'll be restored to normal health. And you say, that doctor hates me because he's going to take that knife and cut me open. I don't like that doctor. I think I'll shoot him. You know, because he's going to cut me open. He's not cutting you to hurt you. He's cutting you to help you. And when God says lay aside these things, he's not saying give up all these things of the world because he's trying to take away our joy or ruin our fun. God's not saying it for that purpose. He knows what's holding us back, slowing us down. And he says get rid of it for your own eternal benefit.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. So he wants us to get rid of those things. I had articles in my file from Cambodia and Vietnam and the war and pictures of horrified faces, people that were fleeing their possessions, their homes. They didn't look back. The pictures that I have of them, they're just running away. They're running away because the enemy had come. The guns were firing. The bombs were falling. We've got to get out of here. They had to leave everything that they owned. They could not go back and take anything. They had to leave it all behind. And when they left those nations, they had to flee, and they left their possessions behind. If they cling to their possessions, they could lose their lives. And so Jesus said in Matthew 24, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, listen to this. And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, and of course he's talking about 70 AD when Titus and his armies destroyed Jerusalem, and he warned them about this approaching day. He said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Because the enemy has come, and you've got to go. You've got to be ready to go. If you're out in the field, leave it all and go. Don't even go to your house and get your coat. Go! Neither let him which is in the field return back to the house to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child. That would even impede you. And to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Not on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, pray it won't be on the Sabbath day, because the Jews were under the law, and a lot of them hadn't come under grace. And he said, you better pray that your flight won't be on the Sabbath day, because on the Sabbath day you're not going to walk over a Sabbath day's journey or run over a Sabbath day's journey, and so you'll be overtaken by the enemy. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, because that would impede you. Neither on the Sabbath day, because that law that you cling to will impede you. Pray that you won't have a woe to them that have children. He said, you're not going to abandon your children, but woe to you that have children and to those that give suck in those days, because that'll slow you down in your race. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And that's the way Jesus talked about it. Don't come back to take anything out of your house. Your house and its furnishings will be destroyed anyway. Don't try to save a thing. Amen. Don't try to carry anything with you. It will slow you down and you'll be overcome. And I think, saints of God, we've got to be careful that we don't get too busy in this crazy hour in which we live. Schedules upon schedules, one right after the other. And if we don't schedule God into our schedule, into our daily lives, if we don't schedule prayer and Bible reading, we are going to be overtaken. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. The Bible says, watch and pray so you won't be overtaken. Watch and pray constantly. We better be scheduling Bible reading and prayer into our daily lives. Amen. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, or you may not be able to rise when called upon to die for your faith. We are witnesses. We are to be faithful martyrs. We are to be faithful unto death. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Dead or alive, you're getting the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who, me? Who, me, Paul? Me? Wait, I'm under grace. You know, I can live like I want, and don't tell me that I'm going to fall. I am safe on the rock, Christ Jesus. Well, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves, you that are under grace. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now we don't have opposite scriptures here, because Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And here Paul said, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Oh, no, I understand both those scriptures. I can put them together, can't you? I can understand them. Praise the Lord. Paul is saying here, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That guy that's boasting that I don't need to pray, I don't need to read my Bible, I can just do my business, God is blessing me, I don't have time to do it, maybe I can pray while I'm driving my car. Oh, I think God would like to see our knees on the floor once in a while. I think God would like to see our eyes filled with tears and our hands in the air once in a while. Praise the Lord. Paul said, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't get so busy that we're praying when we're walking and praying when we're driving. We got to get on our knees and pray. And read our Bibles while we're driving. I do that too because I like snacks. I want to be the fattest Christian I can possibly be, so I carry snacks on me. Here's a part of a Bible here. Used to work and carry it in my back pocket. Any break I'd get, any extra time I'd get, I'd whip out that snack and eat. Praise the Lord. Amen. But he says here, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now these scriptures were not written to make us feel unsure. These scriptures were written to make us be sure that we're saved, that we're not deceived, that we're not being overtaken by the enemy, that we haven't been fooled. Praise the Lord. It is not a question of Christ failing. Oh no, he cannot fail. But there is a possibility of us falling. We've got to know that. And so Jude 24 says, now unto him, and that's not me, that's not you, but unto him that is able to keep you from falling. We cannot keep ourselves from falling. We've got to commit ourselves to him, to his word. Give exact obedience to his word. Follow his commands. And then he'll keep us from falling. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He is able. He's able to do it. But what's our part? Our part is lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Our textbook said sin surrounds the believer to distract him from the goal. Like the flowing garment worn in the first century, it also clings to him and impedes his progress. Sin itself of every sort and all kinds must be renounced by the man running the race of faith. That's what Edward Fudge said, page 147 in the textbook that we studied. Well, what is this besetting sin? It can vary with the person. Somebody said it can vary with the person. Maybe I said that. It can be. Maybe your besetting sin is pride, and somebody else's besetting sin is greed, and somebody else's besetting sin is something else, maybe. Or maybe the besetting sin could be original corruption, original sin, something that's lingering, clinging to us, and always there. We'll talk about that next week. Shall we stand?